The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Don't have anything particular to say, so this might be a good morning to see if you want to discuss something. I think it needs to be a little louder. But if we're going to have more discussion, or I'll answer questions if you have, I wonder if you would be willing to come closer so we can feel a little bit more, you know. A little more connected or something. That's very nice. Thank you. So, if any of you have anything you want to raise, topic or question or concern or anything.
I'm Gail, by the way. I would love to hear more about the investigation part of meditation. In other words, when something comes up, like maybe a second arrow or something like this. In other words, when I have my mind goes wandering and then I come back and I realize I've been wandering and there's a little in there, which is, oh, I've been wandering again. And I see that. And this time I did feel as if I were seeing it more kindly than I do sometimes anyway. How else might I investigate at this point? Or is that even...
It's a good question, and since that looking upon it kindly was a little bit helpful, maybe just do more of it.
Okay.
Rather than investigating at this point. But it's a few things about investigation. It's considered an important part of mindfulness practice, but some care needs to be gone into it. And you introduced your topic about meditation. So I think it's best to keep meditation relatively simple. Don't use it as a laboratory to analyze or try to figure out complicated things about yourself. Let go and try to be simple and try to learn. Use the mindfulness to learn to be with what is that's obvious. So the question that's used for investigation is a simple question, what? What is this? But not to, you know, analyze or probe into the roots of it, but just on the surface, what is this? So what is this distracted mind? Oh, this distracted mind is a mind that's not very aware of my body. Distracted mind is one that has a lot of tension in it. Distracted mind is a lot of energy swirling around. And so you're just kind of just recognizing what's happening in the present moment with whatever phenomena is. And the question, what, is just like getting you to feel, sense it more clearly for what it is. And one of the advantages of that is not only do we get to know something in its simplicity, but we're learning to be at ease with how something manifests, as opposed to finding our ease where we fix the problem. And so how to be at ease with the distracted mind. And learning to step back further, and just kind of the very question of going what and being open and receptive to be with it is a kind of freedom in itself. Just okay, what is this? Just kind of opening and being with it. And learning that's important. Whereas often people have this very powerful conditioning to react, to fix, to attack, to judge, to operate on preferences. It's so complicated. And that gets reinforced if we're doing probing analysis as part of the investigation. Because our probing analysis, we're trying to get to the root of it and who said what and what happened when I was, you know. is often done out of the preferences, the desires, the fears, the fix-it, the conceits that we have operating. So it's reinforcing it. But just the question, what is this? And letting it just show itself to you is much more simple. And that supports the simplicity of meditation. So I would keep it really simple in meditation. Outside of meditation, it might be useful to do some deeper reflection and analysis and probing. Outside of meditation, it might be useful to get a journal and start journaling about your distracted mind, or go talk to a friend about it, and or just kind of go for a walk and reflect, you know. I've been distracted in meditation quite a bit lately. And what is that about? And, you know, are there common themes? Am I always distracted around similar things? Is it always having to do with buying things? You know, and if it's always about buying things, you know, it's different things, but it's always about the theme of buying, you know, what's the roots of that? Well, it seems like I'm going on Amazon.com all the time. No wonder I'm wanting to buy things, because that's where I spend my days, surfing Amazon. And so, okay, so now I got a handle on it, now I'll just stop doing Amazon. Oh, and lo and behold, I stopped wanting to buy things. You know, I'm just a silly example, but just, you know, you might want to, sometimes it's good to reflect and to think about what's going on and even understand the roots of it and the background, even the childhood backgrounds for some of the things that drive us. That's an important part of a wise life. But if we mix that up with meditation, then we're reinforcing the wrong habit when we're meditating.
Thank you.
Behind you, Gail. Yeah, say your name first. That would be nice.
Hi, my name is Peter. My question is about loving kindness and how to avoid that becoming a mental exercise. If I bring somebody to mind and I think, may you be safe, well, they're not safe, and this isn't going to help them. You know, if I think of a refugee, for example, yeah. Or I think of an older neighbor, may you be healthy. Well, they're not healthy.
So if you get sick and you're in bed for 10 days and quite sick and your thing's not good for you, and later on some neighbors say, we heard you were sick and we really wanted you to be well. Is that nice to know that your neighbors were concerned about you and wished you well, wished that you could get well quickly? Or, you know, I don't care what you think, because the fact that you wanted me to be well is not going to make me well. I wish you hadn't bothered. I'm sure you had better things to do. So what's it like for you to hear that someone cared about you and thought about you well and wanted you to be better?
So there are times when I can just go with it. And then there's times when, like, the intellect kicks in and said, what are you doing here?
With the neighbors.
With somebody where I feel like the wish is not, or the good intention is not consistent with reality.
But let's assume the neighbors have good intention. They just care for you and they hear you're sick and they say, I'm sorry, you know, you were sick and we kind of were rooting for you to get well soon. We wanted you to be well. I would imagine that's kind of a nice thing to feel, that they care. It makes a difference what people think and their wishes for people, for each other. So I think that doing loving kindness and having those phrases, you know, may the refugees be better, is a lot better than just ignoring them. And to have, it's a natural care, expression of care that we have that is given voice. It's probably not going to make a big difference in the bigger, you know, there are probably still going to be refugees when you finish your meditation and with the same struggles. But I think it makes a difference to the world, it makes a difference to you, it makes a difference that we live in a world where we care for each other and that we're strengthening capacity to care. And who knows, the highways and byways or the influences that a simple act of loving kindness for refugees is going to have. I met a refugee who came from a camp where I did loving kindness for 30 years before. I met this person, wow. And I now had a personal connection to this person that because of what my thoughts were so long ago, they made a difference. If I hadn't had those thoughts about that camp, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, then nice to meet you and everything. But I felt there was like a kind of personal connection made a difference. Who knows who you're going to meet? Who knows where your loving kindness is going to play out into the future if you're kind of, if that's the concerns of your mind. And at least, I don't know you, maybe you're a better person than me, but sometimes doing some loving kindness, even if sometimes it's not really as sincere and loving and wonderful as it could possibly be, it turns out that for me sometimes it's actually better than the alternative. You know, some of my mind is not, it's not like so great sometimes. Does that respond to your question? Your question was quite good. I hope I'd responded. Did I respond, or you want to ask again, or ask a different way, or?
I guess I don't want to take over.
It's okay. Normally, I fill the space.
No, we're good. Thank you.
Is that good enough? But if you have more, please. Okay. Okay. Someone else.
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
A little bit louder. I've hard of hearing, so you have to make sure you speak loudly enough.
Is that okay now?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. I should have thought about how to phrase my question first before I took the microphone, I think. But I have a question on sort of changing practice now for me. So I've been living in a monastery for 5 months in Amrabati, considering monastic living myself. Before I went, I met someone, which is why I'm here.
You mean a romantic someone?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not quite monastic.
Yeah, exactly. Very different, very different. So obviously, you know, you can't sort of head into monastic living if you've still got itches in the world to kind of, if you've still got itches in the world, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to do both.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, say it differently. It's hard to live in be a monastic and do the worldly thing.
Mm.
It's easier to do the worldly thing and do some monastic stuff together with it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. See
so,
that.
So you know, that, you know, it doesn't have to be either or.
Mm. Mm.
And a lot of people have done great practice.
Yeah,
you know, staying lay and even involved in relationships, and doing things that are monastically flavored, but without being actually monastic, and get some of the benefits.
Mm. My question now is, I feel a change in my focus, a change in my practice.
Uh-huh.
I'm quite sort of distracted, almost like, oh, why do I need meditation at the moment? Everything's very good, very happy, and I notice, you know, when things are good in life, it's harder to be disciplined.
So you have to do it a little bit louder.
Sorry. When things are good, it's harder to be disciplined. So I'm noticing, perhaps.
You know, could you turn it up for me, please?
Sorry. Okay,
you know, I'm
sorry.
Sure everyone else can hear. Everyone else probably hear fine, but... Okay. So please try.
Yeah. I'm noticing sort of perhaps a lack in my discipline because I'm feeling like, oh, everything's wonderful at the moment. I'm very sort of caught up in love and romance and
just
I think,
wait.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll change.
Yeah. Enjoy it. It's an important phase of life to enjoy it and go along with it. Mm. If that's what you know, it's a, you know, this is a kind of a common human phenomenon.
Mm.
If some of this, everything's good right now, is the honeymoon phase.
Mm.
just enjoy it mm-hmm. and go along with it, and it'll change. And then that's when it changes, when your wisdom and maybe some of the discipline and some of the training in the monastery, it'll be useful to in order to not to avoid the relationship, but to deal with it in a wise way.
Mm-hmm.
But for now.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good enough.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for that. It's kind of nice for me to sit with you this way and have a little more exchange. And I would like to hear from more of you, but our time is short. So we're going to